the changes as the years have rolled by is the amount of rotation on the field. Mm. You know, the number of people you have on the bench and the likelihood of them coming on has increased as the years have gone by.
Yeah, they have. I actually look at, for my 40th, I know you don't believe I'm 40, but I am. my parents got me my England shirt and my cap and the first programme, and they framed it for me, and it's in a really lovely frame, and it's something I've been meaning to do but haven't done. It's been in the kit bag. Anyway, it's proudly on my wall now. But the interesting thing is I look at the team selection, and there's only 22 players, and that it obviously happened during my time as rugby, but it just kind of happened. I'm 23 now. And so there's more subs, full front row, because back then there wasn't the full front row, it was just two front row. So the game has moved on, and the rotation of players to get the best out of the squad is the way to do it, for sure. You've got to target key matches and go, well, we're going to go with this squad, but it's that early communication to the squad member that this is what's happening to get the best out of them as well that's important.
But how do you find the balance between disruption and continuity in that? Because, you know, by bringing on a lot of substitutes, you are actually breaking up the continuity.
You are, you're right. But you've got to treat it as a sort of 9-month season. And the balance actually has to be on the squad rotation and getting the maximum out of your squad, because your squad's going to be what sees you through. There's always going to be injuries at any one time. I think we're 25-30% of the squad are injured. So maximising the squad is not only the right thing to do, but it's healthy for the squad as well. It encourages good performance and competitive nature within each position. For a one-off match, you'd obviously want to, and if you had 2-3 weeks in between each game, you'd be consistent with your squad selection and to build that continuity, for sure. And you look at World Cups, for example, they rarely change the squad hugely unless there is a weaker team that you're playing against, and you can see the value in the rest. But generally it's the best team, and the best team goes and plays, and that would be the same for any final or any big match that was played here at Kingsham or away, or any final. This is the best team, and that's the right thing to do. But to maximise the season over the course of 9 months and to get your league points as high as you can get them, well, you have to use your squad.
Can I just ask you a bit about line-out calls? Because that was your expertise, wasn't it, when you were playing?
Yeah,
you had a reputation.
Loved it. Yeah.
you obviously enjoyed the challenge.
Yeah, it was it was something that Dean Ryan was superb at and imparted all his knowledge to me, really. And I grew from that knowledge and wanted to start challenging him. And it was in a day when, I suppose, professionalism came in, where you were where you had the ability to review and analyse teams, and this was new to the whole rugby circle. We had games videoed, sequences videos and videos clipped and cut up to show just the line outs, and I'd spend hours and hours analysing other teams and find out what they do, who the strengths are, the weaknesses, where to exploit. Look at team selection, go, right, if they do that, they do this, and you can see patterns emerging. And I just found it quite simple, because it was the work you put in Monday to Friday was going to give you results on the weekend. And I suppose I was lucky that Dean was supportive of that, and Dean was, well, this is great. And I got some really good success, and it wasn't just in defending lineouts and looking at what the other people do. It was finding out where to exploit their defence, so where the attacking space was, And that was certainly not looked at by other teams at the time. So I was probably ahead of the curve a little bit there. Or we were, and Dean was instrumental in it. So that then led on to the calling of the line out. And once you're doing that, then you're responsible for it. And as soon as you're responsible, then you've got to deliver. And so the pressure of having success meant you needed to continue that and find and eke out the best strategy to get performance to the same level every week. And as teams caught up, it became harder and harder.
It is harder now. And there was an interesting situation in the home game against Toulouse recently where we lost seven lineouts on the trot. And how does the team cope with that?
Well, it's, from a sideline, it's hugely frustrating because you can... from my experience, I can. It's very, very easy from the sideline. It's like watching the replay because you've got the perspective from afar and you can see the gaps, and you can see the space, and it almost looks so obvious. But when you're actually pitch side doing it, and the person's next to you, and you've got King's Own supporters, it's not so straightforward. It's really not. And you know you need the support from your teammates to help you in the situations where you can find the space and talk it through.
In that situation, the crowd actually can react against.
Oh, it can, because you know when you I think we lost four or five or something, and then we win one, and the crowd just go hey, and jump up, and they're like, yeah, okay, I know, I'm trying. But it's not for one to try, and I know how frustrating it can be for everyone, not just the players, the crowd as well. So I can empathise. It does cause me huge amounts of stress on the sideline because I can see it, and I just want to be out there to fix it, but I can't. And that's why I've not actually taken it on to be a responsibility of mine or be involved in any of it, because it's so consuming. You can't just pick it up and take control. It's a full-time job. You have to be, it's a forwards coach role, and I leave that for the coaches to do, you know.
I guess it's a sign of your longevity here at Gloucester. Although we've talked about you playing under several captains, there's a couple more you played under before the end of your playing career. That was Gareth Delve and Luke Narraway.
Yeah.
Can you say something about
that? Well, those two were eights, and I said about eights being great leaders, and I think that those two were. I think Delvey was superb, although he was plagued with injury, which kind of hampered him a little bit. But then, actually, when he left Gloucester, went on for great success with the Rebels and had a good stint of it. But Delvey was a tough character at eight, and played the game very well, spoke to the group very, very well, held everyone really accountable, but it was just unfortunate with his injury. You know, he didn't ever get a real run of it at Gloucester, I didn't feel. Luke was such a talent coming forward, such a bright young talent, super fast, very, very skillful, and he was a real asset to me as well because he was a wonderful line-out forward. And we had a great relationship because I'd be able to use his skill and his knowledge as well, because he'd be one of the people who'd help me out on a pitch when you got everyone screaming at you and you can't see the wood from the trees. But Luke led by the way he played. You know, he played very, very, very well. Was almost like another back that had the physical presence about him that everyone respected. So both those two guys were great leaders, and I see they're both still involved in rugby. So
in terms of you know, in the dressing room just before the match and half time, how does the balance or how's the balance change between the influence of coach and captain?
In terms of who's leading what, yeah. I think that I don't think it's changed a huge amount since my day. It really hasn't. But I'm still a believer, and I think we're all still a believer, that on match day it has to be player-led. The players are the ones going out on the pitch, and they're the ones who have to deliver and make the decisions. Yes, you can get your guidance from the coaches, and that's what they're there for, to guide you and give you a different opinion and challenge. But it has to be led from the players and the captains that are running the programme.
And how different have those various captains at Gloucester that you played under been approaching that responsibility?
Yeah, I suppose some of them take Tins, for example. Tins is a very laid-back character and would be very, very laid-back in his approach. He'd be often in the changing room quite happily chilling out, but then he'd have the ability to just turn it on and change that mindset within a heartbeat. And you get others like Delvey and Luke who'd be, you know, bouncing off the walls trying to G everyone up. And everyone's different. How I reacted to, I'm pretty like Tins. I'm pretty relaxed, and when I go on the rugby pitch, it kind of changes your mindset. But not everyone's got that ability to just be like that. You have to get yourself in a mindset, the frame of mind that you're going to perform to your best ability. So getting the most out of people is probably the hardest thing as a captain, because you can't assume that everyone's going to be like you. You have to mould yourself or understand what the group needs. And sometimes the group does need a good talking to and dressing down. Sometimes they actually don't need anything at all. So having that understanding is the challenge of any captain, I think.